Jesus tells a parable. He crafts a story to illustrate truth. The truth about ourselves. The truth about how we ought to view one another. He wants us to soberly look at ourselves in the mirror. He wants us to compassionately look at others around us. He tells a parable to address a most serious problem. The problem? Pride. And there are two sides to this ugly coin. On the one side is self-righteousness. On the other is regarding others with contempt. Jesus helps us understand with a brief story, this audio-visual, if it were, into the secret thoughts of the hearts of worshipers. Two people go to the temple to pray. Two worshipers ascend the mountain to the house of God. They both have the same goal, to pray. But their words, their hearts, and their prayers could not be any different. One is a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, no doubt, has been raised in the holy faith. He's been trained in the scriptures. He's a professional. He's a community leader. He's a guardian of the truth of God. He's a defender of all that is noble and good. He stands by himself in the temple court and he prays, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. For the Pharisee, getting God's attention is a competition. It's a game of comparison. He throws others under the bus so that he can stand even taller. God, I thank you, he says. Thanks be to God, I am who I am, he says. Thanks be to God that I am unique, good, tame, pure, and honest. Just look at how I measure up against those who might present themselves to you, especially this fellow over here. I'm not like the dregs of society. I'm not a member of the rabble. I'm not a part of the riffraff, he says. God, look at the scars over there. Look at the wounds, the filth over there. I look pretty good, don't I? Jesus' story gives us a question to ask. Is God so easily fooled? Do we think that we can distract God from seeing our imperfections by drawing his attention to the faults and the sins of others? Do we think that God will take more notice of the filth in others so that he will see us as squeaky clean? The Pharisee is only fooling himself. We're only distracting ourselves from the truth that our faults, our sins, and our perfections are right there before God. We're living in denial of our own need for forgiveness, life, and salvation when we see that only other people have missed the mark of perfection and godliness. This is the hard look into the mirror of the law. What we see in God's word is ourselves reflected there. And we realize that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. No, not one. What is really kind of funny about this is that the Pharisee doesn't even really pray. It's not really a prayer at all. The Pharisee is sending up his resume into heaven. He's trying to upload his link to his LinkedIn page so that God could look at his great profile. God is not so easily fooled. He is commending himself to God. God is not impressed. Apparently, the Pharisee thinks that he can eat or not eat or buy his way into God's good graces, that by fasting and tithing that he can earn and that he will deserve God's love, acceptance, and further blessing. But it only saddens God that the Pharisee is so self-deceived. We have already spoken this truth together in our service. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The tax collector won't even stand close to the Holy of Holies. He's not even in the last pew. He's back at the back door because he knows he is an unworthy guest. He won't even look up to heaven because he knows that he does not deserve God's attention. He beats his own breast in self-loathing, because he has not just sinned against God in his thoughts and his words and his actions. He is held captive by sin. He is paralyzed by shame and guilt. Sin is not just the bad things we do. It's the good things we fail to do. And even worse than that, it is sin's power that we cannot break free of by our own strength. And we cannot redeem ourselves. All we can do is plead God's mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he prays. A short and truthful prayer. A right view of ourselves that leads us to a right view of others and of God. The law that condemns us and our sin leads us exactly to where God wants us to run. He wants to throw ourselves on the grace and mercy of God. That is what makes the tax collector unique. He's truly praying. He's speaking truth about himself and his sinful condition. And he speaks truth about God, who is good and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and mercy. He tells God what he already knows, that we all need forgiveness, deliverance, and strength. And he asks God to do what God already likes to do. He extends his love to the undeserving and the unworthy. For Jesus did not come for the righteous, but for the sinner. Maybe the psalm of the day at the temple that day was Psalm 51. I'd like to think so. As they climbed that mountain, they sang these words: "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Or as we often sing, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." At the foot of the cross, we are all the same. Our pride melts away, and the terror of our sin and our inability to redeem ourselves. That is why Christ came. That's why He gave His life for us on the cross. That's why our compassion for others ought to overflow to others. That's why He died and rose again. For humility's sake, compassion's sake, and for mercy's sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.